Read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. And a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you would not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So we reflect on the past year and we'll note the change has taken place. At least that's the way it all appears. Wherever we go, change has taken place over this last year. It's taken place in church when we look around and we see the number of empty seats, and we realise and we understand why they're empty, and we understand why people are sat farther apart. We understand why we don't have tea and coffee and things like that. We recognise how difficult it's been for families that have been separated for a long time. People haven't been able to travel. And so a change has taken place for many of us, and for some it's been a lot deeper. Peter urges his people to do away with evil things and to set their hearts on things that can nourish and bring sustenance to life. Peter first mentions that the first undesirable characteristic is malice. The first persons the apostle mentions were born again and therefore ought to love one another. If we're born again, we are called by Scripture to love one another as Christ has loved us. He urges them to stop using unbecoming and offensive language, which is contrary to the character and nature of those who follow Christ. And in Hebrews 12, verse 1, we find this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. There is a race for us to run. Now, for some, it will be a sprint. For some, it will be a marathon. For others, it will be the 5K round the park at this sort of pace, when life becomes a little bit more tiring. And it's amazing, isn't it? We're, you know, having isolated for a number of days and then suddenly to walk out and you find that you can't walk as quickly as you was walking before. It takes time to rebuild, and we need to be that in Christ. We need to be in new relationships that enable us to grow day by day. And we're called to strip away those things which displease God, to seek a new relationship with him. And we're called, in a sense, to get on our knees and to say, Lord, forgive the past. bring us into this new relationship. This is a new year, new opportunities, new times for doing things. And Peter expresses first praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And hypocrisies are leveled at both God, men and women. Hypocrisy to God is when a person professes that which they do not have. Such as we can say we love God, but do we really love God? Are we really in relationship with God? We say we have faith and trust in Christ. We have faith and trust sometimes only when we're in need. How many times, I wonder, have we actually said, Lord, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. The Lord does it, and we forget. We forget so easily the promises that we've made. And then there's the question of devotion and sincerity in the worship of God. Doing what we do so that we can be seen by others, that people think of us as better. And yet, within ourselves, we're not better. We are the people that we are. And by often, it is of a sinful nature. Sometimes that relationship that we have is what we might call only skin deep. But in actual fact is, what God is saying to us is, to be in relationship, it's got to be heart deep. It's got to be deep. That is the relationship. But the danger for all of us is that we're only a word away from being hypocrites ourselves. You know, it's so easy to blame everybody else or to look down on other people and to say, is they're this, they're that. There's a bit, isn't it, that says about take the plank out of your own eye before you can take the speck out of your brother's. And sometimes we find that we need to do that. We need to actually examine ourselves. And the start of a new year gives us that opportunity. Not to do it in a flippant sort of way, but not waiting for someone to slip and to fall and to commit sin, but to remember that we're only one step away from this. And the other thing that we need to remember is that we have this all-seeing, all-knowing God. We can't hide from God. We can do as much as we like. We can go and find the smallest corner and think that's where we are. But God sees, God knows. And we notice that envy came to the fore with the disciples. Like the envy of James and John, who seemed to be stealing the attention of Jesus and making the other 10 feel somewhat isolated. Making them feel perhaps second best. Jesus calls them together, and in Mark 10, 41 to 45, we find these words. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be first to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for many. We have to become and be prepared to be the servant, as Christ served. We remember that Christ served at the table. That we remember that Christ took off his garment and put on a gown and got down and washed his disciples' feet. He saw his role as servant because the others had bypassed, and yet he was part of a normal custom. And we recall the mother of James and John asking for places of honour and being rebuked by Jesus. We are to get rid of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. And we find in 1 Peter 2 verse 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. We cannot live on milk alone. We need food, solid food, so that we can grow. We cannot live in Christ alone with a flippant, fleeting relationship. We need to deepen that relationship. We need to nourish ourselves and one another. We know that we need to feed babies to nourish them so that they can grow. And we see it with these little ones week by week. And as we've been away for a bit, all of a sudden they're that little bit growing up. Even the teenagers, when we came back, Zan and I were saying is how much they're growing, not just in height, but in maturity, in conversation, in relationship with one another. And so we need, as Christians, to crave the knowledge and love of Christ for us as individuals, but for all of humanity as well. As adults, we need to feed on the Word of God. You don't have to answer this, but how often does your Bible come out? How often do you read it? I've gone into many houses where they've told me they've got a selection of Bibles, but I know that they've always been in the same place every time. And they will openly admit is that they don't get them out very often. Sometimes, again, in times of crisis, maybe we will. You know, we'll turn to Psalm 23 because it brings comfort and succor in some ways. We have a friend whose husband has died over the New Year, and I've been asked to take part in the funeral service in Telford. And it's a bit strange because it's going to be in the Church of England, and I spoke with the vicar from there last night, and she said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, you tell me and I'll, you know, happily fall in. It's your church, it's, you know. And she said, well, could you do the address and something of the character and do it in 5 minutes? It's her church. She's asked me, she's invited me. I will try to do and honour that. But 5 minutes, somebody's life. But that psalm is the psalm that brings comfort to so many. And it's a psalm that people can feed on and feed off. And so we need to feed on the Word of God. Every word of God is pure. And has this purifying nature. It's used by the Spirit of God because it's sweetness and it's agreeable to the taste. If we actually take food that we enjoy, we know what that means. But if we take something that is bitter and sour, our relationship with God often is sweet and sour. There are times when we can be angry with God. There are times when we can be in this loving, tight relationship. But every word of God is pure and sweetness and light. The good news is being born again. What we need to do is desire knowledge. Just as a baby is fed at the breast, so we need to be fed at the heart of Jesus. We need to develop and grow in maturity, no matter our age. You know, there's a thing in South Africa amongst black pastors that the older you are, the wiser you are. And so therefore you become a senior pastor. Some of them are wise, some not so wise, but it's age that determines it. In actual fact, wisdom comes through our relationship and knowledge of Christ. We need, in a sense, to feed on meat. We need to hunger and thirst for a genuine personal relationship with Jesus. Paul might have got the idea from Psalm 38, 33 verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So I want to encourage you in this new year to build on your relationship with God, feeding on His Word. We need to get back, as we've been trying to do, to pray together and share together. But we know how difficult it is. And we know that people have been doing that in their own homes and in small groups. But we want to challenge ourselves in this new year, knowing that where we are, the situation that we're in, And just challenge ourselves to be part of a growing church. But not just a growing church, a church that is growing in Christ Jesus. A church that perseveres, that runs the race, and does not give up. There's many challenges ahead in this new year. And we need to find our way forward, as we do for Jesus. For he wants us to grow in stature and in favour with God and man. As we enter this new year, he gives us an opportunity to reaffirm our commitment to working together for the betterment of the church, for the world. And so I'm going to ask you, as members of the church, would you please stand? If you can't, that's fine. I accept that, but and I want to put some questions to you, and there's a simple response is, I do. And it's I do because it is personal. It is not about we. Yes, we together will gather, but it's about I. Do you reaffirm your faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you reaffirm your belief that God has called you to serve Christ as part of Mills Hill Baptist Church? Do you reaffirm your commitment to love and serve the Lord within the church community, in the world, and being filled with the Holy Spirit to share in the ministry of the church? May God bless you all. May he be your guide in the year ahead. Let us pray together. Loving Lord, we have recommitted ourselves to serve and to follow you in this year ahead. But Father, it's not about a year, it's about a lifetime calling. And so, Father God, we pray that you would enlighten us, reignite us, fire us into working for you and for your communities. Father, we are your people. We reaffirm our faith in you and ask you to bless us now as we share together around your table, taking bread and wine, recognizing that this was what you did and what you asked of us as you asked of your disciples there. Do this in remembrance of me. So, Father God, bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Let's be quiet for a moment as we prepare ourselves and as we ask God to forgive us for those things that might hinder us in taking the bread and the wine. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is right that we call to mind the meaning of this supper. It is a remembrance of the sacrifice of Christ for the sin of the world, an encounter with the risen Lord, a feeding on him in faith, a communion with one another in his body, the church, and a looking forward to the day when he will come again. Therefore, we need to come in faith, conscious of our weakness, renouncing our sin, humbly putting our trust in Christ and seeking his grace. The psalmist writes, "How shall I repay the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in presence of all his people." And from Romans 5, verse 8, God died for us while we were yet sinners, and that is God's own proof of his love towards us. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we pray. Loving Heavenly Father, as we gather around your table, we ask you to bless this bread and this wine, representation of broken body and shed blood. Father, we pray that we might be filled again and renewed as we take the bread and wine to ourselves. Father, you said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We're going to receive the bread and wine. We will eat the bread, but let's retain the cup so that we can share together in oneness with Christ. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us drink together and be thankful. We're going to sing together. We'll take up our offering, and then we'll spend some time in prayer together.
Listen to the words of the risen Christ. Peace be with you. Come and see his hand and the wound in his side. Peace be with you. With the eyes of faith, are you ready to see?
Let's come to a time of prayer when we can share our prayers with one another, or we can just shout out a name where that prayer is needed. And then we'll come together and share the Lord's Prayer and sing before we leave. So let's open up this time of prayer together. So, Father God, we thank you for the spoken and the quiet prayers of our hearts. Sometimes we know it's difficult to pray out those things that we want to pray. But, Father, we ask you to take them and to answer prayers according to your will, not our will. And, Father God, sometimes when there is a silence, that's when you say into us, not now, not at this time. So, Father God, we pray for our community, we pray for our political leaders in what appears to be turmoil at the moment. We pray for the leaders of the world, where again there seems to be this threat of invading one country against another. Father God, we just bring all our concerns to you this morning, and we ask you to take them and to answer and to deal with. And Father, we bring ourselves and we ask you to take our lives, to shake them and to change them where they need shaking and changing, to put love in where there's hatred, put a calm spirit where there's anger. Father, we know that we can come to you at all times and in all places. We often say that we only need to reach out, but we don't need to reach that far. For when we accept you into our lives, you're already within our hearts. So, Father God, we thank you for being with us this morning and remind ourselves that this was how you taught your disciples to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
is at rest. I in my Saviour am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long.
So shall we share the grace with one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.